Right, the language of faith. Faith is the series, so the topic is the language. And so I want us to think a little bit about language for a moment. Language is immensely important to God. When you go right back to the founding principles of what the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, Islamic faith, in fact, even outside of that, many faiths say that the whole creation came about because of speech. God spoke and it came into being. Now, we have no idea how God did that or what that actually implies, but a single word is, I'm suspecting that God actually used a number of words. And when you put words together, what do you get? You get sentences, and when you put sentences together, you get a language. What language was it that God spoke when he spoke the world into existence? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because there's so many languages in the world. And we know that there was just one language in the world. In fact, linguists have come to the place where they believe there was originally one mother tongue that was the forerunner of all of the other languages. And it was in the biblical story, the Tower of Babel is where mankind got a bit big for his boots. That's never happened since, has it? But God confused the languages. Now, in the sense that it was to prevent something, what it created was an opportunity for an immense diversity of language and all kinds of cultures and so on. Language is important to God. Pentecost was about the fact that God wants to reach every mother tongue in the world with their language. And that's one of the things that Stuart Johnson will be talking about when he comes on the 14th of June. And I'd encourage you to bring people to that, because he'll be a really excellent speaker. Language is important. I just thought that I would illustrate language. There's a whole amazing plethora of languages. And you imagine that little lad looking at his future and thinking, what language am I going to be speaking? And between the ages of 1 and 5, the brain is so plastic, they call it plasticity, but we'll call it plastic. That baby could learn any of those languages, and probably quite a few of them all at the same time. Which one? Well, of course, it's going to be where he lives, what the culture is. The language will depend on all sorts of things. So language itself is incredibly important, and we'll look at why in a minute. But that's just talking about language as communication. That might be his response to how on earth do I learn this thing called language? What on earth is it all about? And I like that picture. I thought, yes, it's the chin dribble that has it, isn't it? And we have this little lad who's saying, learn a language? How? How do I learn a language? Well, I've had the encouragement of seeing my daughter learning a language in the last few years. She's learnt sign language, which, of course, we understand as a language, but it's not one which depends on ears and speech. It's one that depends on sight and movement. But the process is much the same. There are some really important things about learning a language that have to do with being prepared to be in a relationship with somebody else, to practice, to learn vocabulary, to be able to understand how it fits into where you are and what you're doing. So for Hannah, her sign language fits very nicely into her school, but she wants to go on from that to become an interpreter. So she'll have to learn some more things and to develop further. So the question, how? Well, it depends if you can hear, depends if you can see. The important thing is to be able to learn and to grow and develop in that language so that, well, what is it all about, this whole thing of language? Let's think about how. Learning a language. There's a few different ways that you can go about learning a language. The bottom left, you've got the phrase book. How many here have used a phrase book in a foreign country? How successful was it? It doesn't... Limited, shall we just say limited? That's a fair word, isn't it? Then you can go into the French class, where your teacher tells you a phrase and then you repeat it and so on and so on. Anybody been in classes where language is taught? Yeah? Better than phrase book? Better than phrase book. Okay. Then you've got the one on the top right, which is where you've got somebody who is helping you to do the thing one-to-one. Anybody been in that situation? A few. Is that better still? That works better still, yeah. And then on the right at the top, you've got actually going to the place and speaking to people in the country. Anybody had that experience? A few. Does that work better? Is that the best way to actually communicate with people in that country? Yeah, I think so. So there's all sorts of ways that we learn a language and we develop, and some are more helpful than others. Some need to work alongside others, and I think that's probably the key to this. It's not one size fits all. It's a matter of having a go at and trying to find ways of all of them. I've heard it quoted, language is the most important aspect in the life of all beings. Have a think about that. That was a secular statement. Language is the most important aspect in the life of all beings. Wow, that's a pretty big statement, isn't it? But think about it. It's actually a very deep and meaningful thing to say, because if you could not understand anybody around you, if understanding was completely cut off from everyone around you, if you had no ability to understand what was going on around you, that would be a terrible existence, wouldn't it? It would actually be, well, I think you could probably define it as hell, because not understanding anything, it's pretty much unthinkable to not understand anything. It's almost like trying to imagine being not here. So we use language to express inner thoughts and emotions, to make sense of complex and abstract thought, to learn to communicate with others, to fulfill our wants and needs, as well as to establish rules and maintain our culture. That's a definition that somebody in linguistics department came up with that has a lot in it, and it's good. It's good because actually there's a lot of elements there that we need to consider. We use language, and that's really important. It's something that is functional, and it's about communication outward. It's about communication to us. It's about not just information. It's about emotion. It's about art. It's about all sorts of things. So language is a massively important thing to all of us. And I want to just bring your attention to where we started our little course on faith. We said from Colossians 2, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Do you see the common factor in what we've talked about so far? Learning a language, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. You have to be taught how to have faith in the same way as you have to be taught in a language. And I think there are a lot of similarities in the way that we learn and grow in faith as to the way that we learn and grow in language. And they are just as important as one another. In fact, that's why I called it the language of faith. That actually the speaking of the world into existence was an act of faith by God. The act of speaking the word into the world to redeem was an act of faith by God. Our receiving God is by faith. Our receiving salvation is by faith. And we learn all of those things by receiving them. Faith comes through hearing. So faith is a language. And it's a language that I think very often we're much more happy with the phrase book than we are possibly with actually learning the language in community, learning the language by learning from one another. Let's have a little look at where we go from there. Well, we said when we started out, and this is the recapitulation, just if you're either a musician or an academic, we talked about foundations. We talked about how man-made foundations have to go deep. But then we said that actually the best way to look at the concept of foundations is to look at God's organic skyscrapers, the tree, and see how they actually spread out roots much more than even the crown, and that we need to learn from that to be rooted in him and reach out. Reach out so that we're in relationship with others, because the strength of the roots entangling with other roots that actually give us stability. And that's, of course, where the learning and the growing goes on. As the roots intertwine, as we learn from one another, we learn language and we learn faith. We learn what it means to be in faith. So that was our foundations talk, which was actually about a month ago. Now, moving on to where we are today, but recognizing that the place we got to with the foundations talk was that our foundations are not built on any one aspect of Jesus' life, but the whole of Jesus' life. Jesus is the foundation. Well, we're going to find that actually, in terms of language, we have the same answer. Because when we read from John chapter 1, that amazing piece of writing, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then on to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if that's not describing a means of communicating with humanity, I don't know what is. God wanted to communicate who he is, what he's like, to us. And he needed a language which we would understand. And of course, the language which transcends words and transcends sign language and every other is to send his son as a human being. That way, whether you speak Aramaic or Greek or English or Swahili, whatever language you speak, you can look at a person and say, I see what you mean. I see what you're about. And what we're going to do is we're going to turn to one particular chapter in the Bible where we see a number of illustrations of what Jesus shows us about the language of faith. And then we're going to have a think about how we can learn and grow using his example. The chapter is Matthew chapter 8. I'm not going to read it through because it's very dense, and The first thing that happens is that Jesus comes down the mountain from having given his manifesto speech, the Sermon on the Mount, said to be probably the most amazing piece of teaching ever given. The Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to through to chapter 7 in Matthew. And Jesus comes down the mountain having taught his disciples and immediately comes across a leper. And what he does is he goes up to the leper and touches the leper. You don't do that if you're in that culture, in that time. You don't touch lepers because that will infect you. But Jesus speaks the language of faith, and he demonstrates something. He says, I touch you, and then he says, be clean. So, first of all, he shows his faith, and then he speaks the word. So he takes a step of faith, and then he speaks a word, and the leper is cleansed. Amazing. Wow. But that's showing us something about God's way and the language of faith. He then goes on, and there's a centurion. Now, centurions were Roman, so they were not Jewish. They were quite important people, and basically they were military guys who were under authority of the emperor via various levels. The centurion comes to Jesus and says, one of my servants is dying, sick. But I know that if you just speak a word, he will be made well. Now, Jesus could have said to him, you're a Roman, I'm an Israelite, I'm the Messiah to Israel, and we're trying to get rid of you Romans because we'd really like our country back, please. Which would have been the political answer. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, wow, you are speaking the language of faith. In fact, Jesus only says to two people through scriptures that they have great faith, and neither of them were Jews. One was the Syrophoenician woman, and one is this centurion. And Jesus says, I've not found faith as great as this in anywhere in Israel. You see, this is an important aspect of faith. We have to recognize it in others as well. You have to understand it in other people. It's not just a matter of speaking a language, it's a matter of being able to understand it. And here Jesus is saying, I can tell when somebody is speaking the language of faith, and I understand where they're coming from, what their heart is. And that's a really important lesson for us in terms of faith, to see that somebody in front of us is asking us something to which our answer probably would normally be no, but this is they're expressing faith and they're asking us, do I go for this? Because in God I sense that it's right. They're open, but they're asking. And Jesus says, wow, that is faith. And so he speaks a word and the servant is healed straight away at that moment. So again, Jesus recognizes faith in others, speaks a word, the language of faith, and the servant is healed. Going on from there, still in the same, probably within the same day or days, he goes to Peter's mother-in-law's house down there in Capernaum, and she has a fever. Jesus goes in. Once again, he touches the infected person. He lays hands on them, not fearing the sickness, and then speaks a word of healing. So he's showing the disciples this language of faith. He's showing them what it will be like when he sends them out to do the same in the villages. He goes on from there to speak to two teachers of the law who say, Jesus will follow you wherever you go. Now, Jesus is response to them is, okay, I hear what you're saying, but are you speaking the same language as me? He says to one, well, I haven't got anywhere to live or to go or to... I'm simply following my father's command, and I haven't got a plan to have a hostel or a house or a hotel or anything. So don't expect this to be a route to prosperity for you. Are you speaking the same language as me? He's saying to them. Do you understand the language of faith, which says, I don't know how this will transpire because God is in control. God the Father is leading me. I only do the will of my Father. Now, we don't know what the response of that teacher of the law, but the same thing is true for the second teacher of the law. He's testing whether it's the same language, whether he's on the same page. And then he goes down and he gets onto the boat. And there is a wonderful... Once you've recognized that this chapter is all about teaching faith, you realize that when Jesus goes down onto the lake and they're crossing the lake and a huge storm starts, and the disciples who are fishermen, they know the sea very well, they think that this is a very dangerous storm. Jesus is having a kip in the stern, just having a little rest, because he's had a busy day, as you can see. And the disciples are frightened by this storm, and so they go and wake Jesus up and say, Master, don't you care that we are going to drown? He says something very important, he says, oh, you of little faith. That's his words, oh, you of little faith. And then, of course, he calms the storm. But can you see what Jesus is doing in speaking this way to his disciples? He's not saying, oh, you of no faith. He's saying, oh, you of little faith. They have come to the right place, to Jesus, because they know he can do something about it. But they could have done it themselves. Jesus has just shown them what they should do. They should speak to the storm. He's shown them throughout all of this that they need to recognize the problem and speak to it. Speak to it in words of faith. What they were was babies in the language of faith. They were learning and growing, just like those babies that might go, how do I learn? And the answer is by getting it wrong, and Jesus saying, next time, just step out in faith. Now, I think Jesus would have said to him after them, how on earth do you think that we were going to drown? You said we are going to drown. I haven't finished my work here. How could it possibly be that you would drown? God was definitely going to rescue us because we've got a work to do. We have a purpose here. So you need to learn the language of faith so that when you go out into the villages and people throw all sorts of things at you, they'll throw the sick, the demonic, the problems, the poverty, they'll throw all of those things at you. Your response must be to speak the language of faith in complete confidence that your Father in heaven is with you and that he will speak his word through you and it will be powerful. And it will transform things. So the disciples were having to learn the language of faith. They were babies. The writer to the Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him earnestly. So the language of faith isn't an option for the Christian. It's not something that you can say, oh, well, I'll learn it later. It's impossible to please God without faith. In fact, faith and salvation are related in a massive way. So it's really, really important that we learn these lessons of faith. And I'm going to demonstrate now just a couple of phrases that will demonstrate the opposite. And the way that very often we hear the world speaking, the language the world speaks. So here we go. You ready? There's Eeyore, and he says, I never get my hopes up, so I never get let down. Oh, and we all say, poor Eeyore, but there is something in that that we hear all the time, isn't it? We don't go for things because we don't want to get disappointed. That's not the language of faith. And the second one, don't worry about me. Go and enjoy yourself. I'll stay here and be miserable. Those are a couple of quotes from Eeyore. But I'm sure all of you have experienced moments where that's been true. I certainly have. I've known that feeling. Anybody here? Or am I the only one who feels that sometimes? And it's not the language of faith. Having learnt something from Eeyore, and there were a lot of quotes I could have taken from my friend Eeyore, I want to say a number of things that the language of faith is not. Some things about the language of faith. It's not just, oh, just go for it, risk-taking. It's not just flinging yourself off the edge. It's not being right all the time, as we've seen with the disciples. It's a matter of stepping out and learning and growing, as with a language. It's not the route to health, wealth, and happiness. It's not a prosperity thing at all. It's something where we learn what is best for everyone and what is good for everyone, because God speaks the language of compassion and love and wanting to bless everyone and reach the ends of the earth. I wanted to say it's not just speaking in tongues. Some people would say that the language of faith is to speak in tongues and therefore to speak the other languages. And it's not just that, although that's one of the wonderful gifts that God does give people from time to time. And it's not expecting God to do what I want God to do, which is very often the way that Christians treat the language of faith. I want you to do this, and because it says in the Bible that you've done this before, you've got to do it again. That's not the language of faith. Jesus never did the same thing twice. He always responded to the situation where he was with a word that was appropriate for that heart, that situation. So it's always something that is new. Behold, I do a new thing, is what Isaiah spoke of God. Those are some of the things that it's not. There's probably lots more. What is it? Well, it's constantly seeking, constantly being open to what God can do, constantly being aware of what's around you. It's a can-do mentality. It's saying, okay, I don't see this at the moment, but I'm sure there's a way. Let's pray about this. Let's seek God about this. Let's ask that we have confirmation that this is the right direction. It's a can-do mentality. It's also encouragement. It's saying to somebody, I don't know where you're coming from in that, but I want to support you and I want to encourage you to go forward in that. It's something that's wise. It doesn't just make things up on the spur of the moment. It has wisdom. But it's not always simply about wisdom, and more of that another day. It always shows love. It always seeks to upbuild. And you could go on and on and on about the language of faith in terms of these kinds of things. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. And there's no law against any of those, which can't be bad. Those are some of the things that it is. Remember the Colossians 2 passage. Overflows with thanksgiving. It overflows with thankfulness. And from that comes fruitfulness. Learning the language. Well, first thing is to accept that you have to become a child. You've got to start from scratch. You can't be an expert in faith straight away. Learn from people who are good at it, people who you know who are people of faith. Learn the vocabulary. Maybe even get a little book and write phrases that will help you to think positively about faith. Things from the scriptures. Practice every day. Everyone I know who speaks a language daily learns it much quicker than if they speak it once a month or even once a week. So practice every day and be prepared to get it wrong. Be prepared to learn through mistakes as well. So they're just ordinary lessons about language, but they are true of faith. Finally, from Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and that's faith language, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that's faith language, you will be saved, Paul said. Great words, and that's the language of faith. That's where I want to finish. Father, please help us to learn to speak your language, the language of faith, to please you and to bless you, but also to please and bless others. We really pray that you would help us to learn the language of faith and through that to see your kingdom advance and many people be lifted out of poverty, sickness, be blessed, be challenged, be encouraged. Lord, we want to learn your language. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.